Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and Brian Fisher, host of Focal Point, the home of muscular Christianity.
I've written the Boy to Man book for fathers of 12-year-old boys, drawing on the wisdom of Solomon and what he wanted his sons to know on their way to manhood.
Read the Boy to Man book together with your son and pass on the wisdom of Solomon. Order your copy today at afastore.net. That's afastore.net. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, you can join Abraham Hamilton III this afternoon and every afternoon, weekdays, from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. He has a one-hour program called the Hamilton Corner, which he hosts. So, Abe, our brother, is a constitutional lawyer. He's a radio show host. He's a pastor.
Public policy analyst. He's a superb
and a dad
Bible teacher
of,
and preacher.
Many children.
Yes.
I think it's five. Huh?
Five or six.
Five little Hamiltons.
We got several families here at AFA that have a bunch of kids, and I get mixed up with who's got how many.
One of our families has a van, a big van, and it's full. And then they got a U-Haul they pull behind it.
They stuff more kids in there?
Which other kids are in the back in the U-Haul. You know the trailer?
Yeah, sure.
They fixed it up, you know?
Yeah. That's a joke, folks. Please, nobody call Child Protective Services.
I didn't name which family it was. Yeah. There's a couple of families here down through the years that literally I couldn't remember how many. They got so many children. Which I praise God for that because
that means
more Bible believing Christians populating the world.
That's right.
All right, Steve Jordahl, how you doing, Brother Steve?
I am well. I have so much stuff that we could talk about today. It's an incredible news day here for some reason.
Yes. Steve, I just have one word for you.
Yes.
Go.
All right. Well, let's start here. Let's be in prayer for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was taken to the hospital yesterday for fever and chills. She's going to be getting a course of antibiotics for the next couple days. So she is at Johns Hopkins Medical Center with an unknown infection. Interesting, if she were to resign or somehow else get off the court, it would bring up the same situation that happened back in 2016. When Antonin Scalia died, and it was right before an election.
It would not actually be the same situation.
Because the Senate is in Republican hands now.
No, the replacement for Scalia
Obama.
Mitch McConnell said, no, we're not bringing up
during
an election year of a president's second term. So that would be slightly different, actually a great deal of difference between the potential for a second term for Trump.
Yeah.
So you're not buying it. I know you're
just. And the Democrats would obviously acknowledge that.
they would. they would acknowledge it.
Huh?
Yeah. They would say that is a significant difference, and we are not going to start Armageddon over the replacement of
Even though they don't believe in Armageddon.
Right, right.
But, huh?
Yeah.
They're atheists.
Many of them are.
Yeah, but they don't mind borrowing from our Bible for their metaphors, do they?
That's right.
All right.
So Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
she's hospitalized.
With an infection.
And I would say yet again, because she's been sick often the last couple of years.
She has.
She's what age?
Man, I didn't look it up.
Is she 78?
Oh,
or?
She's well in her 80s.
Okay. All right. Brent Creeley, our producer, Ginsburg, is going to look it up. I will say this. President Trump might very well have a political point that he could make that might help him in the 2020 election here in November. by saying, listen, we don't have time to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's what this next election's about. So she's 87, thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer who looked that up. I had no idea she was up that, high in age.
That means she's been getting AARP letters for,
40 years. Yeah.
And she's had a lot of physical ailments, including colon cancer. And,
yeah.
I mean, she has not been well.
She's resilient, as they say.
Yeah, she's a tough lady, I'll say that. And, you know, interesting, Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were very good friends.
They were.
That surprised me. So anyway, that was...
You guys were talking earlier in the last hour about some of the Biden platform and the Green New Deal, et cetera. You asked me to take a look at the Biden and Sanders got together and have crafted a platform for the Democrat Party, which includes both of their views. It's basically how far left can we go. And I wanted to highlight just a couple things that were in this, in the area of immigration and education. In this platform, what they are advocating for in immigration, they want to roll back all the travel bans from the dangerous countries. Remember they said it's a Muslim ban?
Right.
It never was. They never admitted it wasn't. It was from countries that we don't know who's coming in because they don't have a government that's strong enough to keep track of their people. Well, they're going to roll that back. They're going to reinstate catch and release on the border. And they are, in their platform, starting an investigation on Donald Trump over his immigration policies.
So that's what they've got planned.
That's what they've got planned. That's in their platform. With regard to education, they are going to ban charter schools. Ban charter schools. Oppose any form of school voucher or choice. And reinstate Title IX for transgender students. That's what you get if you elect Joe Biden as president, folks.
Wow. A lot of people thought Joe Biden was more moderate than the rest of the field on the Democratic Party. And there is some sense in which he was more politically savvy and therefore hid some of his radical ideas. But this guy is just as radical as everybody else. And where he's not, I believe Joe Biden will compromise and take up the cause of the far, far, far left in this country.
If he wants to get any kind of a consensus at this virtual convention, then he'll have to.
Is that a done deal, by the way, in terms of the Milwaukee Democratic Convention
in
August?
As far as I know, it is. I think I saw that they canceled the in-person.
All right. But the Republicans still plan, they moved theirs to Jacksonville, Florida, and that's going to still be an in-person?
Although there was an issue there with the local government saying that they were going to require social distancing and masks and everything, which I think they're working through that, though.
Okay.
So you guys also mentioned a poll that I brought in this morning to talk to you guys about. Joe Biden's lead over President Trump has shrunk by 7 points, according to a Rasmussen poll, dropping 5 points since it was last measured. So he has improved his position by 8 points among Republicans and by 13 points among independents in this new poll.
That's striking.
It is.
On the independents. Did the Rasmussen poll find out anything in terms of why this shift is going on at this time?
And when was the last poll taken that showed Trump, that showed Biden way ahead?
Last month. It's a month. Last measured a month ago.
Rasmussen is very reputable.
Yes.
I would rank them right near the top, if not at the top, as far as their credibility goes. So Rasmussen, so he did it in June. Don't know when in June. So, did they have numbers?
Yes.
Okay, what are they?
So, Biden's lead over President Trump has shrunk to 46% to 39%.
So 7 points. Was it? So it was 12 points.
It was 12. Now, they note that all of the gains came from male voters. In both polls, Trump trailed by 14 points among women. but he's gained among men. Now, to answer your question, they say the numbers may reflect a positive response among Republican voters to the president's Mount Rushmore speech, okay, which Democrats and the media panned just left and right, saying it was divisive and everything. But obviously, anybody who watched it knew it was a uniting speech.
Yeah.
And I think they're, the new numbers they say also may be partly in response to Republican voters returning in response to media criticism by the president. So they're not taking that.
Of the president.
Of the president, yes.
Well, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. I think probably come, if I were Joe Biden and the Democrats, I would feel more comfortable if on election day eve, if you believe in polls showed me up 7, 8, 10 points. Because if you go into the election day and the polls are showing even, that doesn't bode well,
right,
for Biden, because I do believe in the silent majority idea, potentially, is taking the day, because I think that Trump supporters are under surveyed because some of them feel like they're going to be having to get into an argument with a pollster, mm-hmm, for example, and or that the pollster is fraudulent, or that, or worse, that they're going to say, hey, I get this guy, Joe Smith down at, you know where he works, right?
I think that enters into a,
you know,
a
where
lot
he works,
but
he says he's a Trump supporter. We need to bombard his employer's Facebook page,
right,
and get him fired, and that'll show these Trump people,
right,
and they'll do it.
So that kind of doxing, that kind of intimidation, is out there, and so a lot of people say, "I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for." Or they might even say, "I'm all Biden all the way."
Yeah,
when they know full well they're going to vote for President,
right,
Trump. So that's what you call the silent majority phenomenon.
Any pollster who says they know what's going on has got to be speaking with some kind of caution, because they had no clue in 2016.
Right.
2016. The polls were so confounded in 2016. I don't think anybody still understands what happened.
Maybe for the same reasons I just mentioned.
Yes.
For some of the reasons I just mentioned.
And Donald Trump is back on the ballot, and he is such a unique political figure. I don't think your typical ways of looking at the political world in this country are going to be accurate.
No, I agree.
It centers around him as a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have y'all noticed that President Trump switched from blonde to gray?
I did. I noticed that this morning. I think this office will do it to you.
Yeah. Well, you remember the pictures of both President Bush, mm-hmm, and President Obama,
yeah,
how much they both aged.
So what does that mean? He was using hair coloring?
I bet he was.
And now he's not?
I bet he was.
Or did he miss a day? How often do you have to do that?
I don't know. I don't color my hair. I've never colored my hair. So I
noticed
know.
It in the recent picture. So if we see him back to blonde again, we'll
know.
Yeah.
I was just it was interesting. He's got naturally gray hair. Looks pretty good on him, actually.
Yeah.
Huh.
He could use a haircut, as my mom would say.
Not that I would know much about hair. I quit caring. I quit using a hairdryer in 1991. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead, Steve.
There's been a very public resignation from the New York Times.
That's sad.
This is a columnist, actually an editor for the opinion section, named Barry Weiss. It's a woman, B-A-R-I. And she has resigned and written a scathing letter to the New York Times, which is calling them out. She says, a new consensus has emerged in the press, but perhaps especially at this paper, that truth is not a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few whose job it is to inform everybody else. And she says that she was called because she's centrist. She's not Republican. She's not conservative. She's centrist. She and her ideals were among the traditionally liberal ideals of airing every side, giving every side an opportunity to speak. You remember the New York Times fired an editor for putting a Tom Cotton column in their paper.
A U.S. senator.
They couldn't, he was canceled and fired. She says, they've called me a Nazi and a racist. She's Jewish. I have learned to brush off comments about how I'm writing about the Jews again. Several colleagues who perceived to be friendly with her were badgered. She said, the Slack channel, which is an internal communication device, she's openly demeaned company-wide and by several editors and managers who are on the masthead. Very important people were doing this. This is the line I love. Co-workers insist I need to be rooted out if this company is to be truly inclusive.
Yeah. So, again, what we're talking about here, the New York Times is very well-known newspaper, obviously, probably the largest or the most well-known newspaper in the world.
Yep.
And is very influential with other media. Let me just put it that way. So you have the editor of the editorial page, or
she is the where did I put that? She's an editor of the editorial page.
Okay, and so she resigns and says basically the New York Times is sold out to secular progressive ideology and it's cult like. I'm putting words in her mouth. Basically, this is what she's saying. It's wokeness on steroids. And they don't I can't work here anymore under these conditions.
They're not even pretending to be journalists anymore.
No, interesting that because what she says echoes what the comedian from Britain, what's his name?
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Yes, many of you would recognize his face. You may not know his name, but he's the one that hosted the Oscars, I guess, a few months back.
Yes.
And mocked those in the audience for their, for their self-righteous wokeness, I guess, as you say. But he said the other day, and he's talking to liberals here. He's saying if you even say anything mildly conservative or perceived as conservative, you're called Hitler.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's saying. This New York Times editor is saying the same thing. So people even inside the secular, quote, progressive movement, those who think like they do, they're turning on each other.
Well, you know, and Ricky Gervais, he's a leftist. He's atheist. He is socially very liberal and politically liberal. And he, along with some others like Bill Maher,
J.K. Rowling,
some of these others who enjoy freedom of speech don't like being shouted down by the mob. And they're calling this out because it's happened to them. J.K. Rowling, if she wasn't a probably a billionaire by now because of her Harry Potter books, she probably would have caved. But all she did was say that a man who says he's a woman is not a woman. And real women shouldn't have to dress with men. And she has been pilloried for that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the thought control police, and they feel now there's nothing stopping them.
Can I just add one other thing, please, to what Barry Weiss said? And this quote
that's the
that
editor
read,
we're talking about.
This is the editor that just resigned. I have it here. I have it pulled up. This was a fantastic quote that you read. She said, the new consensus has emerged that truth isn't a process of collective discovery, but an orthodoxy already known to an enlightened few whose job it is to inform everyone else. And what she wrote in the rest of this scathing indictment is that their job is not just to inform everyone else, but if you don't agree to change your views, you'll be punished.
Yeah.
And that is that cancel mentality.
That sounds like... When I remember watching a documentary on Nazi Germany and how Adolf Hitler came to power and what the Third Reich, the Nazi Party, did, they circled the country. They wouldn't let anybody out of the country, if I remember correctly. And they did away with all of course, literature, anything that didn't have to do with promoting the Nazi ideology, mm-hmm. propaganda,
right?
Propaganda to so that their people. Well, this happens in communist countries too, right? This
right.
This is why communist China regulates the internet.
And yes,
they don't allow for certain articles or websites to appear because they want to control the thought processes.
And their press is simply a mouthpiece of the government.
Of right. their own people. Well, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. That's what this mentality is that she's talking about. Again, we're talking about a lady who was editor at the New York Times. She left and said she can't work under this environment anymore. This is the thought police, and this is exactly what it was, and you will be punished if you don't agree with them
right.
on every issue. By punished, I mean lose your job. Have your family members lose their job.
And never work again.
Never work. Canceled.
Right.
You get canceled. Go ahead, Steve. But anyway, that's very interesting. Coming from her.
It's going to be interesting to see if the industry or mainstream media reacts to this, if it pulls them back at all.
Well,
this
CNN,
is a very public rebuke.
Yeah, but CNN and MSNBC last night, as far as I could tell by reading online today, didn't even cover this.
No.
That's a part of the agenda.
Yes.
But you know what they were covering? I got to play this for you,
okay.
if I may.
Oh, sure.
MSNBC didn't cover what we just talked about, which
no.
is a major news story.
A major news story.
Right.
About their industry. That's,
right.
But what they did say, you know, the discussion has been whether to open up schools or not. Well, MSNBC got a bunch of, they sent one of their reporters, the medical reporter out into the field, he got a hold of a bunch of pediatricians and interviewed them about...
Which network did this?
MSNBC.
By the way, you've got a little hiccup problem.
I don't want people
to think there's something wrong with their radio.
I don't
radio,
know.
I got to get this checked. Listen, this keeps
I don't know how to get rid of it.
It's okay, it happens to us all. Just not.
If you want to scare me, I'm
yeah.
open.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway... this guy interviewed all these pediatricians, and the last question he asked is, would you send your kids to school? I want you to hear what they said, and then at the very end, the MSNBC host comes back and is just kind of dumbfounded about this. Go ahead.
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes, period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
I would let my kids go back to school.
Dr. John Torres, NBC News.
They all said yes.
They all said yes. He had a kind of a shocked look on his face.
Well, because I guess they were expecting all these pediatricians to have grave concerns, because that is all we've heard from the media.
Right.
Is, no, we can't. I mean, President Trump is advocating this. He doesn't care about the lives of children.
Biden and the left-wing media are trying to create this idea that President Trump is promoting millions of deaths among
right.
Americans because he wants kids to go back to school.
Right.
And like Susan Rice the other day, or last night, I mentioned this earlier, the former Obama official, she's going, how dare him say we need to go back to school and risk the lives of... I mean, that's just the way they're
yes.
framing it. Quite frankly, it didn't even sound like she believed her own. You know how they go out there
right.
and say stuff that they just have to say?
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of like, as I said, whatever. Tell me what Trump's for this morning, and all day long we'll be against it.
Right.
That's basically the Democrats and the Biden's position. All right, but that's interesting. All those... five or six pediatricians interviewed on camera for NBC News.
Yes,
said go back to school.
Yeah, go. There's nothing kids can't catch it. They
right.
can't pass it.
Right.
And they need school, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate everybody listening to the program today here on American Family Radio. My thanks to Ed and Brent and Fred and Abe. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. We'll